as I'm kind of painting the picture of what dad's issues are, then I have a chapter on attachment style. Because we are learning from our, in this case, you know, we're learning from our fathers how to connect to people. So every chapter in the book is how do daddy issues show up in your marriage, dating, motherhood, friendships, at work, because all of those are relationships. And you most likely respond pretty similarly across the board with those different people. Mm-hmm. So we have to know what's getting in the way of me feeling comfortable with this person, getting what I need and giving what I think is appropriate to this person per my own boundaries. A securely attached person is someone who is totally confident in whether or not they are, let's say they're dating, they're with their partner. Maybe it's long distance. They trust them. It's okay. They know how to articulate their needs without popping off, you know, out of fear and insecurity. Mm-hmm. That's a securely attached person.
Hey, y'all. Today is a real treat. Okay, but first, let me introduce myself. My name is Taylor Chandler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I help you break toxic love cycles with one-on-ones and group. But hey, today is all about Christian Jackson. She's also a licensed therapist. She's also an author of a book called Daddy Issues, which we're going to be talking about today. Daddy Issues. Y'all, when I came across this book, I was on Instagram. Okay, I came across this book and I came across Christian. When I saw Christian and I saw her content and I saw this book, I bought it immediately. I bought it on the pre-launch, okay? I got myself a signed copy. So I want you to go get you a copy, but I want y'all to tell you about what she's doing with this movement of Daddy Issues. If you have been on my page, if you've been listening to this podcast and some of these things have been resonating with you, no doubt that this book can help you out, that this episode is going to be even further enlightening for you. So I'm just excited to introduce y'all to the author, Christian, and I'm gonna let her tell the rest. I will see you at the end.
Hey, sis, hey.
Can you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes, I am so excited because, first of all, you have been a friend in my head for a few months now. I just have to admit, it's almost like meeting a celebrity. This is so cool. Straight up, right. I'm not gassing you, sis. I really enjoy your page and your content. I, too, am a therapist like you. So I'm in South Carolina, a licensed therapist here in Columbia. And so I have been in private practice with a couple of partners since 2017. So we've been doing that full time since last year. So most recently become a 100% entrepreneur doing our thing. Mm-hmm. Yana is the name of our counseling services. And we have been kind of like on autopilot. So I'm proud of that work. We get to meet people all the time. And as you probably know, COVID ain't have no shortage of therapists, clients, you know what I'm saying, for us because of what's been going on. Mm-hmm. So I'm a certified addictions counselor. That's where I started my career, working for adolescents. So I used to get the kids, you know, that would be pop for weed at school and get like expelled for something stupid and small like that. So I kind of had this passion kind of grow for really trying to make sure I'm advocating for adolescents who are really well on their way on that school to prison pipeline. Mm-hmm. And so part of the work that I do now too is some professional development for other providers about trauma and specifically how it impacts young Black boys. Mm-hmm. And so that's been kind of taken off across the state with my friend who's a licensed social worker, and we've been doing a lot of training on our tool that we call the Y Monster tool. It's the Young Men of Color Trauma Assessment, which mm-hmm. is really a more inclusive tool for young Black men or brown men mm-hmm. to kind of catch what the ACEs doesn't, you know. Yes. So for those of y'all who don't know, the ACEs is not really, you know, designed for people of color. Mm-hmm. So of course, there are a lot of things that, you know, providers would miss when it comes to how can we give them care and stuff like that. So that's one leg of what I do. And I'm trying to put it all under one umbrella with my brand, Couch with Christian. So at Couch with Christian, you know, still your licensed professional homegirl, your mm-hmm. daddy issues expert. Mm-hmm. I wrote a book that I think we're going to be talking about today. Mm-hmm. That's really why we're here, mm-hmm. you know, to get the word out about what daddy issues is. Yes. I wrote this book really out of my own difficult relationship with my father mm-hmm. and kind of working through my own emotional trauma over some years. Just mm-hmm. I had to go to therapy for a little bit. So the book is really like a culmination of some journal entries and just some thoughts I had when I was in therapy for that specific reason. And I'm really just trying to get the movement launched so that my work is in front of more people and I am connecting with people like you to kind of make sure that we are healing properly and acknowledging this issue. So I'm ready to dive in.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you for that introduction. My heart is just beating and beating in my chest because I'm like, I just, all of it. I didn't know that you worked in addictions before. I did too for several years before, like, you know, moving on, but I didn't know that. And I also appreciate all of your kind words, but when I came across you, because I came across your page first, because I had, and I told you this, but I'm just going to share it here too, because I had been thinking about my daddy issues, and I've been in therapy for years, like on and off, not like every week for years, but I have had my therapist for probably, I don't know, a long time. So we had talked about things with my dad, and I, like most people, well, I won't say most people, but there are definitely a group of us that would like to believe that our issues have nothing to do with our dad because we don't want him to be very important. And I had been feeling like I needed to really like think about that more. And you know how like a therapist, you know how we be like, we know where some things be coming from, but sometimes someone's not ready, and I was not ready. And I know my therapist knew that, like, you know, she could only push so hard on this. And I felt in my spirit that it was just time to really take it seriously, take that part seriously. And I just came upon your page, and you literally had it was the pre-launch. You were posting about the pre-launch. And I was like, if this ain't God, if this isn't God, like, I don't know how to see him, because it was just like lit. It was just so seamless. And then so right when I saw it, I was like, and then when I saw you, and I was like, I have to, and we hadn't even have like, really, we hadn't really have a conversation or anything, but I bought the book immediately. Cause I was like, you know, when some things add up, you just don't try to make, I was like, let me just really act on this because it was so clear. Like, you need this book. And so I had messaged you, and you were super cool. I mean, you come through exactly the way, like, you are who you are on social media, which is amazing. And then, and then I got the book. I was just getting green lights all over the place, because I'm like, it's just too, is it too good to be true? And no, it's just, it is true. It is true. This book is amazing. And I got it, and I was like, I had to do it in pieces because it was so much and it's so packed. So I'm just really excited about just talking about the details of it, so I don't just talk about it in general. I want to talk about the specifics. But I just want to thank you for just even creating it, for putting it out there, because it helped me a lot. And I know, and I tell people about it, and I know that's going to help so many more people. So I'm just glad to be sharing it with everyone today. So
yeah, thank you. I remember you being a pre-order and signing your book. I remember that.
Yes. Look at this. So it's just so full circle. So full circle. Instagram is amazing. Okay, so I want to first talk about the stigma around the phrase daddy issues, because I have clients who say, and you probably hear this too, right? Like, it's like when the, like, it's something like, I don't want to be that girl with daddy issues, or it's like this kind of like cringy, like icky kind of tone that people have with the phrase. And it, I think, has a lot to do with the things connected to that phrase, daddy issues. So can you talk about that, the stigma around it, and why it's important to address that?
Yes. It's so interesting how, like, you know, I was just talking last night about the role of Black women and the different layers of Black women, which is a whole different just topic. But what came up was just the perpetuation of certain narratives in the media, daddy issues being one of them. So if women don't already have a lot to contend with, especially Black women now, Black women with daddy issues, like, that's a whole different snowball of negative connotation, right? So a lot of people, when you think daddy issues, or when you hear about it in the media, if I bring it up with my clients, like you said, I do see that. I watch them, like, give me the side eye, like, what did you just say to me? Because a woman with daddy issues is, you know, she's a whore. She likes old men. She's a gold digger. She can't control her emotions. Like, she's all over the place. Really just a lot of degrading language that really just insinuates that we can't come back from really trauma, as if nobody else goes through trauma, right? And so a lot of what you're going to hear when it comes to that stigma is that something is wrong with this lady. She can't come back for whatever or whoever hurt her, no matter how she's been hurt. Not even taking into consideration that some women have been sexually assaulted even by their fathers, physically abused by their fathers, and not really given grace. So I got super annoyed with that narrative, because I'm just like, you can't possibly accept the whole person without really trying to give grace for their baggage, quote unquote. So the daddy issues narrative is one that I am trying to kind of poke holes into the negative stigma with this conversation, with this movement and the book, because I've been all the women I described in the book when I really lay out the archetypes, which I think we'll get into. But that stigma really discourages women from getting healing. And I keep bringing up Black women because we are, they're just different things that kind of make us more, I would say, there's more of a need, obviously, in the Black community for certain healing because we're behind the curve. So when I am saying it out loud and talking about daddy issues, like we're talking about the weather, then my hope is for you, woman, to go get the help and healing you need, because you're already wearing so many hats, sis. Like, all these roles and expectations, just society-wise, that puts a whole bunch of pressure on us to fulfill all these roles and wear all these hats. You don't even have time and or not allowed to get the help. So I am really trying to push this whole idea that a woman with daddy issues, first of all, deserves to be heard and seen and validated for all the pain she's been through, and really just making it okay for you to go get the help that you would need, or pay attention to yourself, whether it's you actually going to therapy or just taking 30 minutes for yourself a day to kind of start the process. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to fight back, because that, as you already stated, you know, that stigma is just something that I think is really what discourages people from getting the help that is necessary for us to even thrive.
Yeah. I love that you just put it right on the cover. It's just the title of the book, Daddy Issues. It is what it is. Like, let's just call it, it what it is. But I love that you do that. And then you also connect it with a word that many people shy away from, which is trauma. And so, like, it makes it, it bridges the gap. Like, it's not, because I think daddy issues can sound like, people use it in like a way to like minimize somebody's real trauma. And it's like, oh, it's a daddy issue. But no, like, it's real and it's big. It can be big. And so we should connect it to trauma, because that is what it is. It's not like some flippant, like, oh, I'm a nagging wife. It's coming from a daddy issue. No, like, that's minimizing it. It's coming from like some really deep rooted trauma. So let's talk about all of that. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. You
can't shy away from that.
You said archetypes. You mentioned things like the gold digger. Can you describe like some of the different types, some of the different archetypes that like how these, what are the different characters that are manifested from these daddy issues?
Yes, for sure. Because I think a lot of them, you know, both you and I have probably seen them on our couch, right? Like in our sessions with these women. And so I guess I will start by just backing up and just letting everyone know that daddy issues is basically a diagnosis I made up based off of the DSM-5. You know, Taylor and I are like professionals. This is the book we use to diagnose people with your depression and anxiety and stuff like that. So I kind of went and based it off of separation anxiety and reactive attachment disorder. Mm-hmm. So women with daddy issues, like just so we can have language and be able to articulate what we are going through, what we've been through, I wanted to give people that, because it's so freeing, especially for trauma survivors, to be able to name it. And like you said, call a thing a thing, you know what I'm saying? So I can actually move forward. That's helping us with the acceptance piece. So if I can accept that I do have abandonment issues, I don't like rejection, I have trust issues with not only other people and relationships, friendships, motherhood, dating relationships, but trusting myself. Mm-hmm. security issues. That's really what the culmination of what daddy issues is. So I lay it out in the beginning of the book just so that people can know what we're talking about, having a working definition. And so based off of that, the women that I'm writing about, for example, I start with a daddy's girl, because I will tell you, Taylor, because the name of the book is Daddy Issues, mm-hmm. and people just don't even go to the taglines. They just be like, Daddy Issues, I'm going to stop. I can't even read the tagline. Okay?
Ooh, not that one. Not me.
Not doing that. So they don't even go further. Mm-hmm. But the tagline is How to Detangle from the Sins of Our Fathers, because what I'm really trying to allude to here is the fact that if we are healing in therapy, for example, then we're healing our ancestors. Like, this is a generational thing. One thing I want to make clear is that it's okay if you have a good relationship with your father. That's amazing. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there aren't some things that kind of linger, because all of us have narratives from our parents that aren't, they don't necessarily serve us. So the daddy's girl would be the one who was doted upon, you know, the one who has a positive relationship with her father. I wrote about a young woman just like kind of mixing up some client stories where this woman was taking care of her father for a long time. He doted on her and really like spoke nothing but positive things in her life. And so, which is great. You know, you don't get a lot of that sometimes. It doesn't become embarrassing. But what she was coming to me for was her difficulty in asserting herself. Mm-hmm. When she was met with a challenge or so, she got like a bad grade, or a professor told her that she did something wrong. Like, she wasn't used to really receiving like the other side of the feedback, because all she got was, I'm going to give you whatever you want and tell you what you need, you know? So she was calling me because her anxiety was so bad that her, you know, that was a lot of like perfectionist stuff kind of happening in her narrative too. Mm-hmm. But the daddy's girl, in her case at least, she wasn't able to receive negative feedback. So for her, in her case, it was like a lack of balance. So I encourage women who see daddy issues, the book, or even hear it, to be open-minded about even the concept and how it may apply to you, because it's on different spectrums, right? I even talk about, when I'm defining what daddy issues are, the presence of a father, all the way to no presence at all. Like, it's on a spectrum as far as where he fits in your life. Mm-hmm. So then there's the one people already kind of know about, like the gold digger, the woman who was looking for security. That's how I see it. And when I'm talking about these different archetypes, it's important for y'all to know that I've been all these women. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm writing strictly subjectively, because these have been all my experiences at some point. So even my husband now, we've been together 15 years, married for 5. But he met me when I was 20, and me and my dad had just started falling out, and I didn't really have any money. But Tony was like paying my bills and making sure I had groceries, because he wanted his girlfriend, me at the time, to have and be okay. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, is that what this is like? You know, I got to hold on to this one, child. You know, so some people will come out and look at that on the outside and say, this is in his relationship with the money. That's not what it was. It was a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. But again, people stop at a certain point in the narrative and just make assumptions, right? And so in the book, I'm submitting to y'all that the gold digger is not looking for money. She's looking for security, validation. She's looking for someone to see her. So we're really just changing the perspective of what these terms even mean. That's why I'm trying to take some of these things back.
Yeah.
The promiscuous type. I've been her too. I was out here, sis. I ain't lying. Oh, you know, looking for. Okay.
I'm not even going to talk with y'all.
That is a different podcast. And I ain't even mad at it.
We're talking about the book. Okay.
You know, I have to be real about that thing, because, you know, this is just, we have to talk about these different types of women, and even the clingy types. I've been her. I kind of operated from an anxious space, and I know we've talked about attachment before, just kind of been passing on our Instagram pages, but my anxious space, my anxious attachment style was really just, okay, I'm going to do whatever you need just so you don't leave me type of thing.
Right.
So that's that daddy issue coming up, right? That abandonment, that rejection. Yes. So these different women that I describe, I back them up with stories that I've heard. And so they're all jumbled up because of HIPAA. But just really things that I've literally heard come out of women's mouths mm-hmm. in some type of way, mm-hmm. because I want you to see yourself in the book.
Right. And I think that's so important to when you're like going through this, because going through the book, because there is so much stigma attached, first kind of just accepting the fact that we, let's just say most of us likely have some negative connotations attached to it. First, I think it's just important to accept that it's, you are probably like most people, and that we have some defensiveness around the topic itself. That's why this book is so bold, because mm-hmm. we are so defensive. We are so not wanting to see this for what it is. And so when you mm-hmm. do decide to, like, you know, when you drum up the courage to get the book and then open it up, because it, you know, as excited as I was to get it, I wasn't mm-hmm. excited to read it. And I think I told you that along the way. It was like, mm-hmm. I'm already trying to do all this. I really gotta do all this. Cause I mean, like, you just look, read like a book. I was reading the book, getting read like a book. Okay. And I was uh-huh. like, this is a bit much. This is a bit much. So just, I was excited to have it. Doesn't mean I was excited to read it. So I think all along the way, I know that for me. And so I would encourage anyone that's reading the book to let yourself, like, you know, take some breaks and recenter so that you can continue mm-hmm. going through the process in an from a space of openness. Not everything mm-hmm. is going to apply, but mm-hmm. some things will. So take the things that do and then leave the things that don't. But the important thing is just to be open, to be curious, to see what is me and where am I at, so that we can start to chip away at that defensiveness around the issue. Because if we're defensive, we can't receive it. And it's so important mm-hmm. to receive it. So I just wanted to make that note. Because you do, Christian, you just call everything exactly for what it is. So it can be triggering. Mm-hmm. It can be triggering.
Yes, it can be. It would trigger writing it. Child, please. I put that thing up and down as I wrote it over like a year, because I'm telling mm-hmm. my story too, and kind of letting y'all into a very vulnerable personal space. And it was hard to like revisit some of these things and be like, oh gosh, that's really why I'm this mm-hmm. way and why I've thought and, you know, moved out of fear for so long. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you even brought that up as far as like taking breaks. That's important. I do give opportunities for people to do that mm-hmm. in between chapters. Like mm-hmm. you have a chance to go and ask yourself some reflection questions based on the previous chapter. But then also you have ideas that I give you to kind of mitigate whatever comes up for you, like cope and activity to kind of bring you down. Because I, as a responsible professional, you know, we just can't be throwing books at people and say, read it and keep going. So I like to call them speed bumps, because in between each chapter, you have a chance to kind of slow down. And please put it down for a week or two if you need to. I fully agree with that. So I'm glad you brought that up.
I love that you put the check, that you put the self checks in there, because I think especially, and again, this is a different conversation, but it's important to highlight, especially women of color who don't mm-hmm. take these breaks. We don't be taking these breaks and just want to be busting through walls all the time, just doing everything, like you said earlier. And I just loved that, because I didn't know that it was going to be a part of the book. So when I got to it, I was like, that's so nice, because we mm-hmm. especially do need those reminders. And like for you to just go ahead and say, you know what, I already know that you're doing a lot. So I'm just going to go ahead and just, again, call it what it is. You need a second, maybe. You might need a second. And so just in case you do, here's a second. And I just, so that's another reason why I just love that you as a Black woman are writing that from that perspective and like with that experience personally and professionally. So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even though I want to go on a tangent about this, I'm trying so hard, Christian, to just like, I'm practicing keeping things concise. Cause I really feel like I could make this an eight hour thing if that's what we really wanted to do.
I'm trying to
keep it concise. So I want to know, mm-hmm. what do you say to people, or what do you have to say just in general about the mommy issues? Because I think part of that question for me comes from mm-hmm. the common deflections of like, for people who would like to protect their trash ass dad. I'm sorry, but for those of us that, you know, go through
those little periods.
I said what I said. Did I say I'm sorry? Because I'm not. I'm not. For those of us, for those of y'all that want to protect your trash ass daddy, it's fine because, you know, we have compassion for that, but it is what it is. Uh-huh. And sometimes we like to deflect. And for a while, or maybe for a long while, mom gets all the heat. So I want to know, like, what you just think about that process and what do you have to say about the mommy issues?
Oh, yes. Okay. So the spoiler is, even when I'm writing this, I hope everybody knows that everyone has both daddy and mommy issues. Like, that's just a thing. Yes. Number one. So the mommy issues, when I was writing it, as far as my story, and people who know my mom, they're like, oh, I love the way you wrote about your mom, and it's so beautiful. And because she is dope. My mom was the most selfless person I know. She's great. However, you know, because she is also a woman with daddy issues, then there was a lot of things that I didn't realize until I sat with it and was writing it that I resented her for, such as maybe something like finances, right? Like, she wasn't really taught how to be responsible in those ways. And so there are some things that I wish that I had a mom for stuff like that, to kind of prepare me for that, or like dating relationships where when by the time I was 15, my mom and dad had divorced. She was living her 20s and her 30s because they had us when they were 18 and 19. Mm-hmm. So sisters out here getting her life and working. And so I was home with myself a lot, had a bunch of questions about things I was feeling and thinking and experiencing, just going through puberty, you know. But I don't think I got a full good picture. And those are things I held against her. Like, it's your fault that I can't make things work with men, or why I'm so promiscuous, you know, those kinds of things. So we have to consider that she may be along with daddy issues to whatever degree, and that's why she was missing some things, and that's why you're likely missing some things if you didn't really replace that with the proper role model or whatever. Mommy issues are, I think, kind of swept under the rug, possibly because they're the people who are, they're the most likely the present parents.
Right.
So, you know, that people will, you know, kind of take that and say, well, she was there.
Right.
And, you know, people who were trauma bonded are going to be like, you know, this something is better than nothing. So yes. She was there. Yes. But they're not really thinking in the back of your head some of the stuff that, you know, still shapes your values and the way you might have acted or behaved. Have you watched the Jenny and Georgia show on Netflix? Yeah, I heard about it.
No, but I've heard about it.
I'm telling you, sis, it is so good. And I'm talking about mommy issues all up and through, but they played the hell out of those parts. Like, I loved just watching the dynamic from a professional standpoint. Like, as a therapist, I think you'll enjoy it. The story is really good. It's really showing Georgia, a mom who is, you know, a child of trauma, and developmentally she's stuck, you know, kind of acting still like an adolescent but still raising her kids. It shows beautifully how mommy issues kind of manifest and how they develop in a dynamic like that, because, you know, Jenny's the daughter and she resents her mom for so much. Mom, why are you embarrassing me and doing all these things? She's making decisions she's making because all she has is a mom who's pretty much like a sister, right? So that was kind of my experience. My mom is super young. She's only 54. She's 20 years apart from me. So I borrowed her clothes and I did talk to her about boys and felt like it was cool to talk to her about anything. But then going back, didn't really get the insight that I think was maybe even appropriate or enough for what I needed at the time. So many layers, and people would like to kind of do the whole, men have more mommy issues than women, and women have just daddy issues. And it's not that. We're all affected to whatever degree based on our experiences. And so I actually learned a lot more about my mommy issues, learning about my daddy issues. Of course, writing the book was cathartic for me. I was trying to kind of process a lot of things I was going through. But then I was also like, there's some other gaps here. Like, why is it that I have some of this ideal? So I think it's important for us to stop here and just say, like, daddy issues, which I think you alluded to in our previous conversation email or something, like, daddy issues is not the end-all, be-all, only reason why we may have some stuff going on emotionally.
For sure.
It's just a piece of the puzzle. Right. So, you know, you bringing up mommy issues is important for people to understand it's family of origin. You know, it's not just mommy or just daddy or whoever raised you, like, who lives in your village. So it's really important for us to point that out for each other.
Yes. Okay, you just created two questions for me. You just created two questions for me. One, Okay, I'll just, okay, I'm going to tell you what they both are. My first question is, as so, if someone's listening to this and it's kind of the, they're become coming into like an awareness that mm-hmm. I might be someone with daddy issues. I might be someone with mommy issues. Oh, Christian's saying that we all have them with both. Mm-hmm. How, what would you tell that person who's kind of experiencing like an overwhelm feeling of like, oh my God, where, oh my God, it's coming from my parents and I had no idea. And I've been living with these people all my life and I didn't know. Like, what would you tell that person mm-hmm. who's kind of feeling that way? Okay. And I'll save the second question. Oh.
Yes, that is such an important point because awakenings can be overwhelming. It's like an information overload. So I would say for that person just to be kind to yourself and understand that there is a village, there are people who are out there having the same realization. So the shame or the guilt or the confusion that you may be feeling, like Brené Brown says, shame can't live in confusion. So this is one of the ways that you can start to have conversations with other people who are trusted and close to you and in a community that you probably already are a part of, some that you can find in Facebook groups because I was doing the whole virtual thing. I guarantee sharing some of these epiphanies that you are having are not just your thoughts, right? And so fighting the tendency to kind of stay quiet about things is not going to be the healthiest thing because you're going to that is very isolating and that's going to kind of push you in the corner by yourself. So just knowing that you're not alone and knowing that there are resources out there and other people within your village having these same thoughts, I think is probably one of the most important things to know that there's no light shining on you when you're like somebody with like, I don't know, a third nipple, you know? I mean, you're not the only one, you know, even in that case, you're not the only one with a third nipple, you know?
You're really not.
I don't know if that makes sense. That is so random.
No, yeah, that was super random, but I think it really, I think it was a perfect visualization to make the point.
Yes, okay. You just got to stop being afraid of being judged, even judging ourselves. Yes, so giving yourself grace is going to be important too, you know, and not having to download all the information by yourself. Like, that is not a thing. You don't have to do that.
Yes, perfect. Because, you know, like, I think you and I both know that you can have, let's say you have four clients back to back, right? Essentially kind of like back to back, whatever. And everyone thinks that their story is exceptionally unique. Like their daddy issue, or mommy issue is so different. And there's uniquely abusive or uniquely neglectful, or, you know, like it feels very personal and very individualistic, but we know that the next person has a very similar dynamic. And we know that the next person can have a very similar dynamic. It's kind of like we all have these similar dynamics and patterns. So knowing, like you're saying, to be honest and just to say what it is, and then to be connected with others, to have faith and to trust that other people are experiencing the same thing, like you're saying, and that also feel like they're the only ones. And then we all get together and say, actually, it's all of us. And that feels really, really good. And that's super healing. Right. You said a quote from Brené Brown, but like your voice went like it like went away. Well, you said, and I've heard it before, but I want you to say it again. What does Brené Brown say? Shame doesn't exist where?
Shame does not live in community. It cannot live in community.
Mm-hmm. That's so important. Yeah,
so powerful. I love her work. So she's basically telling us, like, if you can go to a group setting, whether that's your friend, one trusted person, or most, you know, like, have, like, a tribe, as I like to call it, then, you know, you are likely not the only one with, like you said, even a similar story. You know, like, you say something out loud, it takes the power away from whatever that had over your head.
Yes.
And like you said, it's super healing. It really is.
Mm-hmm. That alone. Of course, there's more to it, but that in itself is like a big, big piece of it. Okay, my second question that came out of what you said before was, how does someone go through this as you're coming into awareness of the issues and as you're coming into acceptance that these people are your literal parents, right? Because that's a whole process of being like, damn, dad, this really you. Like, damn, mom, this really you. Like, and there we come out of disillusionment, from like who we thought our parents were, and then we become aware of who they actually are, and then we can hopefully move in some way towards accepting that. And everyone's journey looks different. But how does, as someone, wherever they're at, how does someone go through this? How does someone go through this without blaming or without blaming their parents?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's actually part of my own journey to really kind of work through my daddy issues. So this another spoiler, the end of my book does not end with Christian and her father reconcile. They're best friends. That is not what happened. We're still not talking. Just to let y'all know, okay?
Yes.
So I think that nothing happens by accident, right? So I wrote the book kind of wanting to offer people that kind of fairy tale ending, but that's not life.
Mm-hmm.
So part of my part of my story was my process. So I think part of my process to answer your question was, in our professional training, understanding trauma really helped me. So that's why I make sure that so many people, when I'm talking or doing public speaking, that is important. You got to know what trauma is, how it affects, you know, your life. So for me, understanding my dad's story and giving grace, knowing that he is also a child of trauma, and I don't outline his story in the book, you know, that's his to tell, but just knowing how much pain and hurt he's gone through, I really had to understand he really could only give what he could. Like, if he wasn't taught to love the way that I needed, then I wasn't going to get it. Like, it's not his fault. He didn't learn that. Like, I'm not going to expect our 4-year-old to go out here and drive my car to go up the street to the store because I don't feel like it's up. Like, he doesn't have that skill set. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I had to understand from my dad that he is developmentally stunted emotionally and mentally for some things because he was surviving himself. And so when you are in survivor mode as a child of trauma, you ain't got time to worry about how to love correctly and make meaningful connections. Like, you literally trying to survive and go from one moment to the next. You're on a one-track mind. And so I think that's a huge piece of it that really kind of helped me to, I think, assign appropriate responsibility. I still think it's a responsibility to react, you know, and try to correct some of the things that he's done. But I also, it kind of helped me see him in a different light, which stopped me from blaming him so much, because I can't blame him if he just was trying to survive. It doesn't excuse a lot of what I know happens with our clients. Like I said, some of the women who were sexually assaulted, I write a letter to you at the end of the book, and probably do something separate just for, you know, that particular population.
Yeah.
But it's not excusing abuse. Mm-hmm. Or using the neglect or whatever. It's just, okay, I understand. Like, you are a 54-year-old man probably responding like a 12-year-old. Like, I get it, you know? And it's a different thing when I emotionally kind of, like, leave you in the dust. Because, you know, I've done my work. So I can't, in my chronological age, expect you to respond. Because I'll surpass that. If you don't want to do the work, then, you know, it's taking stress off me. You know, that blaming piece is another one of those things that we hold dear and dear because it gives us an answer to whatever questions we have. But, no, I just had to let that thing go. I just had to understand his story and say, you know what, whenever he's ready, it is what it is. But it's taking years off of my life to just expect him and hold my breath for an apology. Like, that's not fair to you.
Yes. I'm just going to leave that right where it's at. I'm not going to add anything to it. because we're going to make this an 8-hour situation. And I think that you just shared that so wonderfully, because it's not always, I have this like happy, and sometimes that is the happy ending. It's that you became aware that some boundaries needed to be set. You became aware of where the lines needed to be drawn. You became aware, and then you acted on, like, what am I going to accept and what am I not? And you made the appropriate decisions, and that is a happy ending. So it's just,
that is. Sometimes that is a happy ending. I love it. Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask you these. Like, we're gonna kind of like come out of all of that, because we are just, there's so many like gates that we could open, and I'm going to go ahead and close the gate there, because people can go get the book and go start the work. So I'm gonna zoom out. And I would love for you to kind of relate this to, you know, I work with a lot with attachment styles, and so do you. How does it all relate Even though there's like 1,000 things we could say, but I guess like generally speaking, for people who have become aware of their attachment styles, which is amazing. I love that people are calling, like, I'm realizing that I'm an anxious, preoccupied person and I want to do something about it. I'm like, yes, girl, okay, we can do something with that. So we're becoming into this, coming into this awareness of attachment styles, and we're all excited about it. So how does this relate to that? How, where do you make that connection?
Yeah, so I, as I'm kind of painting the picture of what daddy issues are, then I have a chapter on attachment style. Just trying to give a brief overview again so that people understand why this even matters. Because we are learning from our, in this case, you know, we're learning from our fathers how to connect to people. So every chapter in the book is how do daddy show up, daddy issues show up in your marriage, dating, motherhood, friendships, at work. Because all of those are relationships, and you most likely respond pretty similarly across the board with those different people. So we have to know what's getting in the way of me feeling comfortable with this person, getting what I need and giving what I think is appropriate to this person per my own boundaries. A securely attached person is someone who is totally confident in whether or not they are, let's say they're dating, they're with their partner. Maybe it's long distance. They trust them. It's okay. They know how to articulate their needs without popping off, you know, out of fear and insecurity. That's a securely attached person. So even that whole concept of looking at the work that you do is us trying to help people understand what's getting in the way of you being that guy. You know, like, what is it in your experience with your father, for example, that showed you that you can't trust people? Like, my dad is not a very trusting person, and he will tell you that he don't trust nobody. So I had to learn. I watched him, and I write about it in the book when it comes to friendships. Like, I watched him say certain things about certain people that just showed, now I understand, how much he really had that wall up to protect himself. And so his very anxious attachment, I think, is really what that is. It's fear-based. You know, like, I don't want to get close to people. So if we are watching our fathers have certain relationships with women or with men, and romantically, like, how does that show up in your life as far as who you are as a romantic partner? Because we're learning how to have relationships, whatever they are, from our parents. And, you know, from our parents together and then from them separately as far as how they interact with their partners. So it's so important and directly related, because they're teaching, like, my husband and I are teaching our boys how to be in relationships right now. You know, like, they're going to take that with them as a blueprint for how securely they are or unsecurely they are attached to other people. So it's a whole thing. I'm so glad you brought that up. But that's definitely a chapter in my book, just to kind of help people make those connections.
Yes. I love that, because it can feel, like, so unsettling to just feel unable to attach. It can feel so unsettling to be like, okay, I'm like, I know I want a relationship, but I feel like I just can't make the connection. Like, something always goes wrong. And a lot of times we turn that, like, anger, which we don't usually recognize as anger, but we usually turn that anger back onto ourselves. And so I love that you expand it out to attach, to relate it to attachment to parents and how we learned that behavior from them. Because it helps to kind of, like, settle your soul a bit. Like, it's not like just some random disconnection in you. Like, this was created. And to be able to see the context of your own life. And then you can see, when you can see that, then you can better see, like, okay, how are the dysfunctions happening in my relationships? And I can take it out of myself. It's not just like me, I'm not wrong, but some things happened along the way that were less preferred, and things that didn't work out the way that, like, Disney tells you that it's going to. And we can just have a better, greater understanding of how, who we are, literally. Like, that's it. Like, who am I? Where did all of this come from? Beautiful. What can anyone do about this? Aside from getting the book and getting a therapist, is there something that you could suggest to encourage someone to do after they finish listening to this episode to start this, like, kind of, well, I don't want to say kind of, I would say it is for most people, like it was for me, and can still be on certain days or in certain moments overwhelming. So what would you encourage someone to do?
Yes, I think there's a mixtape one of my clients put me on. So it's called the Meditation Mixtape by Sheila Marie. Okay. If anyone's familiar, I wasn't before, but she's a black woman who made probably like 8 or 9 like short tracks of guided meditation. Mm-hmm. And I can send it to you, Taylor, after we're done.
Yes,
it's on Apple Podcasts and all that. So, or Apple Music. So one of the meditations that she did that was so freeing for me was, it's called Acceptance.
Okay.
And she talks about acceptance being, acceptance doesn't mean that we have to place judgment on whatever this thing is. So if I'm going to listen to the rest of this episode, maybe get the book. If I'm accepting that I have a piece of daddy issues, if I'm just going to accept that, then you can ask yourself, now what? It doesn't mean that I'm saying I have daddy issues, that I like it or don't like it. I'm just accepting that there are some pieces of me that I could probably pay more attention to. And so that's just kind of like in my addictions work, and you are probably familiar with this too, the whole denial piece. If we're going to be in denial, then we're just going to, our anxiety is going to continue to stack up on each other. Those depression symptoms are going to continue to stack. The more we ignore things and not do anything about it, the more harm we're doing to ourselves. So if there's one thing you can take out of even this podcast that may not even have nothing to do with that issue, right? Like you might have kind of made a connection elsewhere. Then accepting it, I think, is the first piece.
Yeah.
And then also kind of paying attention to how your body is responding.
Mm.
Because our bodies hold and remember our traumas.
Yeah.
And so if we are going to want to try to hang on to something that's practical, even if it's, you know, I feel really tense in my shoulders, then paying attention to some stretches. It doesn't have to be something as far a leap as going to therapy, like Taylor said. It could just be, you know, I carry a lot of my anxiety, my weight on my in my chest. I need to start doing some deep breathing activity.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up to, let me go to Therapy for Black Girls and find me a therapist, you know, or Psychology Today,
mm-hmm.
or join a support group or something like that. It doesn't have to be the leaps and bounds that people can kind of paint therapy to be. It can be something completely in your control, because I want you to find something that is going to reinforce the fact that, you know what, Sally, you did this thing, you took a deep breath, you meditated for 2 minutes, that is in your control, and you felt better afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to feel reinforced that you have control over your symptoms. And then when you're ready to take other steps, that's what you pay tailoring for. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you don't have to do it on your own.
Right.
So it's just something small, like drinking more water. It's
within
your control to kind of do that. We need those small wins.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So think about it on a spectrum.
I love that.
Yes.
That just makes it so much more digestible. And for those of us
mm-hmm.
that have felt like very out of control, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes you might feel in control one day and then it's a regression the next. Okay, that's fine. But to have like some like those little routines just reinforces the fact that you do have control over things
mm-hmm.
and that
mm-hmm.
you can choose to do them or not. But that you do have
right.
some choices along the way. So I love that. I love that mm-hmm. you always like just encourage people to do it at like a pace that works for them, in chunks that work
mm-hmm.
for them. It doesn't need to be like the whole plate. It can be an appetizer, and then you can course it out
right.
and you can kind of, you know, move through the meal as you see fit. You don't have to try to consume everything at once.
Mm-hmm.
This is so good, Christian. This is really, really good. I feel better.
Yeah.
Like, I feel good after this. Like, it's just so easy to, talk to you. It's so easy
Thank
to
you.
Talk
this
to you.
Too.
To you.
Thank it's
you.
It's been a long time coming.
Yes, it has. We've just been busy.
Mm-hmm.
Are there, okay, two other questions. First,
mm-hmm.
are there resources that you have about, like, surrounding this issue? Can you share those?
Of course. Why? Yes, I do. I think outside of the book, then I would recommend getting the workbook if you could as well, because it expands upon those self-reflection check-ins that I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You have more room to kind of journal and work through the questions and kind of, you know, reflect on the activities I suggest you do for self-care. And right now I'm in the middle of launching my very first Daddy Issues Healing Circle.
Yes.
So what that is a support group for women who are really ready to take a step at directly addressing their daddy issues. Mm-hmm. So I already have some women who are signed up, and these women are, I've asked them, because I do like a screening up front just to kind of get a feel and make sure people are safe and ready for the
time. Yeah, I do the same
thing. You know, you got to make sure you keep everybody safe. So most of these women have not even been in therapy before, which is, mm-hmm. to me, I love those. Mm-hmm. It just can kind of give you fresh eyes. But I share that because I don't want it to sound intimidating for people who want to possibly join the healing circle. Mm-hmm. Because I personally think that group is a great way to kind of dip your toe in something therapeutic.
Yes.
If you're not ready to have the microscope directly on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you do groups a lot, Taylor, so I know that you can, you know, vouch for that too.
For sure.
You don't only get, like, me as the author of the book and the professional leading the group, but you also get experts in their own life experiences,
yes,
too. You know what,
yes,
I'm saying? That are
they be wanting to hear from everybody else. They don't want to hear what I have to say,
yes,
when they come in the group.
Right.
It's like,
you done already read the book, saw my content, so let's talk about what everybody else is learning,
yeah,
right? So I'm excited about that. It starts May 3rd, and, you know, I plan on doing this, you know, a couple times throughout the end of the year, so that people have a chance to kind of warm up to the whole idea of going to talk about their daddy issues with other women who have daddy issues. But so far, I've gotten pretty good reception, and we start in a couple of weeks. I'll be sharing how that goes throughout so that people can kind of know what's going on with the women. But I think that was a thing I really wanted to do on top of writing the books, is offering something live so that people can kind of work through it. Because like you said, it's heavy stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want people to have to go through it on their own. And so we'll have this weekly group for 8 weeks. But you'll also have a Facebook group that you'll be invited to that's private if you're in the group itself,
yeah,
so that you can kind of have access to me and the other women on top of it. So I'm really excited about that. That's the,
yes,
what I'm working on right now. So yes, you can apply on my website if you'd like, and even if you don't get in on this round, we can always talk about how and when the next round starts. Like, just hop in there, and you can be reading the book, getting ready in between.
Yes, yes. I love that I love that the healing circle is about to start. I do love, mm-hmm, group. I hated group the first time I did group therapy, like, as a participant.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I ain't about to be sharing all this. For what? I was like, for what reason I'm reading this? I don't get it. But... wow, was I wrong? I was so wrong.
Okay.
And honestly, I robbed myself. I dropped the ball. I missed out on that, what that experience could have been, because I was scared to, but no one knew that, but I was scared to just,
right,
open up like that. Now being on this side of it, and you really don't know how a group is until you in group. Like, you really,
yes,
it's really,
you,
like,
have to experience,
yeah, you have to experience it. You just, it's kind of like, I guess, like, this might work. It's amazing what happens. And in yours is 8 weeks. It'll be amazing what happens in those 8 weeks. I mean, you have, like,
yeah,
the energy, all of everyone in group, because you do that screening beforehand, so everyone's on the same accord. And then,
mm-hmm,
so you have all of that energy supporting you throughout that process.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, and then it's cheaper than doing one-on-ones too.
So, exactly.
Like,
that's what I'm trying to tell people.
I'm like, you need to be, like, I'm like, this is literally like it's such a good option. Of course, like, there are super benefits to one-on-ones, but
right,
I think, like, I'm the same as you. When someone's like, I've never done therapy before, I'm like, go do group.
Right.
Do group.
Go to,
like,
a group. Mm-hmm.
You know, be around, like, see that you're not the only one. Hear from other people.
Mm-hmm.
Get all of that energy, and then save your money. And then you'll have an even,
right,
better idea of what you really specifically want to work on, what really speaks to you to go into one-on-ones, and you feel even more prepared and, like, targeted towards what your goal is. So I love,
yes,
love that. And I'm going to put all of the links in the show notes, of course.
Yes.
And I would just encourage anybody, like, if your heart did any kind of fluttering and it's like, this is me, like, pay attention to that little pull, because there's a lot underneath of that on the bottom of that well. So,
mm-hmm,
go with it and reach out. Obviously, like, Christian is like this in real life. Like this is who, like, you, this is who you'd be talking to. Like, it's like, this is that's I mean, how easy is that? And then you get all of that,
right,
healing along with it. Like, come on. So I'm just, like, one of your biggest fans, girl. I love everything that you're doing. So my last question is, of course, Is there anything that you feel has been left out or that you want to reemphasize? Anything that if it was one thing that someone could walk away from knowing, what would you want mm-hmm. them to walk away with?
I really think that the whole idea of therapy in general is I want people to not be so afraid of it. Mm-hmm. Because like I said a little bit earlier, it's like healing your ancestors. It's like giving permission, like for you to go and get the healing that they fought and died for, what they deserved and couldn't get, at whatever level and whatever degree. And doing something therapeutic does not have to be something major, like I just said earlier. I think that's the biggest piece I want people to get, because you think you have to drop $1 million to go to therapy, mm-hmm. but yet you're going to get your bundles and your lashes and your hair and things done. Like, I gotta say it, right? So, like, yes, people really coming to me and they'll say, like, how much is your fee? Okay, how much is your healing circle? And I'm going to be very candid. It's $497. I'm mm-hmm. breaking it up into payments, so it's super affordable mm-hmm. because it's probably going to go up just because of, you know, we have to honor and value our profession as well. Yes. But they hear the price and then freak out. And I'm like, well, you're going to get your fill-in every 2 weeks, sis. Sure, like, it's literally $62.10 a group. Like, $62, that's really mm-hmm. what it is. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, changing that narrative and really paying attention to how you're investing in yourself and why yes. is really important. And just knowing that giving yourself permission to heal to whatever degree on whatever level mm-hmm. is, it's your time. Like, I always leave mm-hmm. saying, it's your time, sis. There's a lot of neglect that we've been doing to ourselves because of what we learned from maybe someone like your dad. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it's okay for you to kind of do what you need to do and take the time to be better and just be well.
Yes. We really cannot say that enough. So that's yes. that. Thank you so mm-hmm. much, Christian. This is so good. This is so good. Yes. I really can't thank you enough for sharing all of your wisdom and all of in your own story and for just being who you are, because your presence alone is healing in itself. So then on top of all the other things that you offer, all of the other operational things, mm-hmm. it's really you. So thank you for sharing you today.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Me too. Wasn't that good? Y'all, please check out Christian's Instagram, her website, her healing circle, her book, her workbook. The links are below. Get in touch with her. If you feel that beat in your heart, y'all, and Christian got something for you, you need to raise your hand and let her know. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please take a second to rate and review it. It means a whole lot to me. Okay. And I will see you next week. Bye.